Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 32 tonight. It's good to be in God's house. Sure, I'm glad to be in church tonight. I thank God for the church, I'll tell you that. This stuff with COVID and all that's going on in our country and even in our church has made me once again remember and just realize how thankful I am for the local church. Thank God for the church, amen. Church is a great place to be, and I'm glad to be here on a Wednesday night. Genesis chapter number 32 is where we'll be. I don't want to take too much time. It's Wednesday night, and I don't want to be long. But Pastor asked how many of you are hot, and a bunch of you raised your hand. David put up two hands, and it made me think, I couldn't help it. It made me think of Brother Allen's Sunday school lesson this past week, speaking of being hot. He said that he was talking about unity and disunity in a youth group and different things, and he said that, you know, a lot of times people reason there is, you know, disunity is that people get jealous of one another. He's actually talking about Cain and Abel, and he said, you know, that they were jealous. There was jealousy there. And he said, you know, sometimes people get jealous, and, you know, he said sometimes, you know, teenage girls will get jealous at this girl or that or whatever. You know, maybe they, you know, the whole story. And Brother Allen said, you know, he said, and then you can't have no friends. He said, poor Sharon, he said, all these years, he said, you know, she ain't had hardly any friends because everybody's so jealous that she's married to him. And so, talking about being hot, I couldn't help Brother Allen. He said, poor Sharon, he said, you know, I just, everybody's been jealous all these years and she can't have no friends. But anyway, I think Sharon's probably got more friends than anybody in this church. I don't know. You figure it out, Brother Allen. But nah, Genesis chapter 32, you're there. And so we're going to get right into it. It is good to see a lot of people back in church tonight. There's some folks out. But we'll, you know, God's in control of all of that. And so my family's doing well. I want to praise the Lord. Somebody mentioned my son, Adam. And so I think Adam's the only one of our clan that hasn't been through the sickness. And so we're good to go and just praising God. God's taking good care of us. And so I just want to praise the Lord. I publicly want to praise the Lord for taking good care of me and really taking care of our church family. I was thinking about it. God's been good to us, brother. We've had a lot of sickness in our church family, but God has taken care, and God's been faithful, and I just want to praise him for it. I don't want to minimize how good God's been to us, and so thank God for that. Genesis chapter 32. So we was here last week, and I've rambled enough. I want to get into the message. I hope I can be a help to somebody tonight. I know God's really been, I've been really meditating on this passage of Scripture for weeks now because I had planned to preach this back a couple weeks ago, and Bible school came, and then the situation happened, and we didn't have services, and then we went live stream, and so anyway, I've been kind of meditating on this for a while, and I want to go into a very familiar passage tonight in Genesis chapter number 32. I'll read one verse of Scripture, and then we're going to go through this section, but I just want to read one verse to start out with. The Bible says in Genesis 32, verse 27, it says, "And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob." I want to talk tonight about Jacob coming face to face with something. I think last Wednesday night through live stream, I believe it was last Wednesday night, I preached live stream and talked about Jacob coming face to face with his fear. I'm going to mention that again tonight a little bit, but we really focused in on Jacob's prayer. He had a desperate prayer. I talked about at the beginning, there was a divine preparation, and then there was the dumb paranoia or premeditation, and then there was the desperate prayer of Jacob, and we talked about that. And so anyway, I want to look tonight at something else that Jacob is coming face to face with out of this passage of Scripture. And I find something very interesting about the Bible. I just want to say this up front. It amazes me how God's Word is alive. Amen. This is a living book. Amen. The book that I'm preaching from tonight is a living book. It amazes me how you can approach the Scriptures from a different angle and get so many different applications. There's so many, I've heard so many messages preached over these years, some out of this passage that I'm about to preach tonight, and I've heard it applied, and I've heard it approached from so many different angles, and it just amazes me how deep God's Word is, and how alive God's Word is, and how that we can never exhaust the Word of God. And so, as I look into this passage tonight, I want to approach it maybe from an angle that maybe you've never heard it approached from, but as I've meditated upon it, I really believe this is what God would have me to preach tonight, and I want to look at Jacob coming face to face with his flesh. Jacob coming face to face with his flesh. You see this story here is a very familiar story, and it would probably be easier to preach tonight out of verse number 30. It says, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So I could preach tonight coming face to face with the Father. Because that's what Jacob said. He said, I have come face to face with God, right? And so for alliteration's sake, I could say he came face to face with the Father. And I do believe that Jacob did do that. But in the process of coming face to face with the Father, I believe Jacob came face to face with his flesh. I believe that God used some things in Jacob's life to help Jacob to see himself. And so I want to look at that tonight, how that Jacob came face to face with his flesh. And when I say his flesh, obviously I'm using that for alliteration's sake. I'm saying Jacob came face to face with himself. Jacob took a look in the mirror here in Genesis chapter number 32. And so I want us to look at that tonight. And I hope as I look into this tonight, I hope you'll do what I've done these past couple days as I've been meditating on it and preparing it. I hope that you will look at yourself, right, in the mirror. Come face to face with yourself. Because that's what we need to do as Christians. We've got to come face to face with ourselves. It's going to help us a lot. And that's what Jacob does in this passage of Scripture. The first thing I want us to see about this is the situation, right? I want us to see the situation that Jacob has found himself in. You know, life brings us into a lot of situations, right? I've been thinking this past week of just some of the situations that we've run into as a church family over the past couple weeks, and how quickly and how rapidly things can change, right? Just under a month ago, or right out a month ago, we had this place packed out. We had Vacation Bible School. We had buses. We had kids. We had games. We had activities. We had all kinds of stuff going on, right? And in a matter of a couple weeks, we went live stream, and then we came back, and we've slowly started to build back up, and we've just watched as a situation has unfolded. And I think about different situations, even the situation with Brother Scott's passing. I mean, it just come upon us like that, out of nowhere. We didn't expect to lose a young man at 28 years old, a member of our church, and for many of us, a member of our family. But that was a situation that just happened in our lives. And we could go on and on. Many of you tonight sit here with different situations, different things happening in your life. Brother North is going for surgery, Lord willing, at the end of the week. That's a situation that he's involved in. And we all have situations. And Jacob is in a situation here. And I want us to see a couple things about this situation that Jacob is in. The first thing I want us to see about this situation is this. Jacob is scared, right? I said this last week, and God wouldn't let me move away from a couple things. I mean, God's been, maybe this is for me. I got to be honest with you. When I'm preparing to preach, and when I'm praying, and when I'm seeking God's face about something, and God leads me in a certain direction, I always have to say, what is it, God? It's got to be, God's trying to help me with something. And so I've been doing some self-inspection as I've been preparing this message, and I see Jacob in a situation, and Jacob is scared. I want you to look at it. We looked at it last week. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 32. The Bible says this, then Jacob was greatly afraid. Verse 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And I talked about that last week, how that Jacob was afraid. And so here I said, Jacob is scared. Look at verse number 11. As we looked into his prayer last week, we saw this in verse 11. He said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother and the children. And so the first thing I want to say about Jacob's situation here is Jacob is scared. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about some things that we've been going through as a church family, and I don't want to keep on beating the same nail, because I spoke on that last Wednesday about fear. Jacob had to face his fear, but I just want us to really understand tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. Maybe it's even a young person here tonight, or maybe it's an adult. I don't know. Maybe somebody watching by live stream. This thing of fear, this thing of being scared, it's not of God. That's not of God, brethren. And now I'm not standing up here. I want you to really get it here tonight. I hope everybody can understand my spirit here tonight. I'm not standing up here saying, well, bless God, I'm fearless. No, I'll admit to you just as readily as anybody, there's times in my life where fear gets in my heart. Probably more than it should. I mean, I'm one of those people. I don't mind admitting it. People that know me, Pastor knows me. I'm one of those people. My family kind of jokes about it. I mean, I get a pain in my side. Most people think, man, it might have been something I ate. I think, oh, no, I got cancer, right? I mean, that's just me. They call it a hypochondriac, right? You know, I'm that guy, right? And so I'm not sitting here. I told you, God's been preaching to me, right? But I know this. I know the Bible good enough to know when fear gets in my heart, whether it's about my own self, my own health, about my children. I mean, I'll tell you right now, something happens to one of my kids. Boy, fear sets in my heart. Quick. But I know this. It's not of God. Fear is not of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and I like this one, of a sound mind. Right. See, we're living in a day where people are fearful. They are fearful, and I'm not minimizing that tonight. I prayed to God this afternoon, God, please, as we were even praying just now, I pray, God, please help me to present what I'm about to present with the right spirit, because I don't want any one person in this building to think tonight that I'm talking down to anybody or I'm pointing a finger at anybody. I'm preaching the Bible here, and Jacob was afraid. He was scared, and fear is not of God. And if there's folks watching live stream tonight and you're afraid, I want to tell you, just mark it down. That's the flesh. It's the flesh. It's not of God. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Actually, Jesus told his disciples, I mean, we're in good company when we get afraid, because I said last Wednesday night, I believe it was, Peter, when he stepped out on the water, the Bible said that the winds were blowing and the waves were crashing. And Peter looked around, and when he saw the waves crashing, the Bible says he was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And so when we get afraid, I mean, we're still in good company. The great apostle Peter got afraid, right? He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he got his eyes on the waves and on the wind, and he got afraid. His disciples, Jesus took his disciples, I believe it's in Mark chapter 4. I'm not 100% sure of that, but Mark chapter 4, Jesus told his disciples to get on the boat and go to the other side. And the Bible says a storm came, and Jesus' disciples were afraid. They went to Jesus, and they woke him, and they said, Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish? They said, Lord, we're afraid, right? And Jesus said, oh, why are you so fearful and unbelieving? Why you have little faith? I'm not quoting it perfect here, but you get the point. Jesus said, guys, what are you fearing for? See, fear and faith do not go together. Fear and faith do not go together. You'll find actually that phrase, the fearful and unbelieving, together a lot in the Bible. Talking about in Revelation, talking about those that will be cast into the lake of fire, I believe. I didn't look it up this afternoon. It's just coming to my mind right now. But I'm almost positive that it says the fearful and unbelieving. Because fear and faith do not go together. And the devil wants to put fear in our hearts. The devil wants to have us afraid. He doesn't want us living in faith. He wants us living in fear. And Jacob finds himself in fear. He's afraid. He's scared. That's the situation that Jacob is in. He's scared. Not only is he scared, I believe Jacob's scheming. He's scheming. Look at verse number 13. Now, there's a lot of different positions on this, but we saw last week about his prayer. And I was talking about how that Jacob prayed desperately. He went to God in prayer. And then verse number 13, it says this, and he lodged there that same night, just after he prayed that prayer of desperation. It says he lodged there that same night, and he took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. I won't read down through the present, but it says 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, and it goes on. If you read, I believe it's over 500 head of cattle that Jacob gives to his brother Esau. And in verse 17, he says, he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou and whither goest thou and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. You say, how is Jacob scheming, Brother David? Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of different positions about this passage here. I don't even know where our pastor stands on it. I almost called him and asked him, but I thought it might mess my message up. And so I thought, I better just ask him afterwards, right? So there's two positions on this passage of Scripture. Some people believe that Jacob was doing the right thing. He was putting feet with his prayers. He had asked God, God, take care of me. God, you know, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. God, but I'm going to go forward. And so Jacob was kind of putting feet with his prayers. He was putting action behind what he had just done, this prayer that he had just prayed. There's people that believe that. They believe Jacob was doing a good thing here. He was buttering up his brother. Or he was showing real repentance. He was showing, and you can learn some good lessons. I'm not saying that's not so. If you read through this, there is some good lessons here on how to apologize to someone, right? buy them something, right? Now, young people, you ought to go home tonight and read this passage of scripture, and next time your parents are mad at you, you can do what Jacob done, right? You send one of your siblings in there with some roses, and then you send the other one in there with some candy, and then the next one in with a card, and then you come in there, Mom, did you know I sent those roses and that candy and that card, right? I just wanted to come and tell you that I'm very sorry for, you know, breaking your picture, you know, whatever it is. But so there are people that say that's what Jacob was doing. He was doing a good thing. I don't know. And I didn't get to talk to the pastor about what he thinks. But I just know in Jacob, I've been studying Jacob's life for the last couple of weeks, almost months now. And knowing Jacob, I think Jacob's scheming. I think Jacob is going back to Jacob. He's taking matters into his own hands, right? I think Jacob's trying to, he's up to his old tricks. He's trying to plan his way out of this thing. He's done went to God and he's prayed, God take care of me. I'm going back to see Esau. But just in case you don't, I'm going to do something, right? Jacob is a scheming. That's what his name is. Jacob's name means schemer. It means supplanter. It means worm. And Jacob, I believe, is up to his old tricks. How many times, you know, I'm not beating up on Jacob here because I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't tell you the times that I've prayed and then turned around and started trying to plan how God's going to fix it. And I understand that's thin ice because it could go either way. God wants us, you know, God don't want us sitting around, you know, but the Bible does say wait on the Lord. So, I mean, it just could go either way. But I think Jacob's scheming here. I believe Jacob is up. He's up to his old tricks. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I think Jacob's leaning on his own understanding. He's saying, if I'm going to go back and see Esau, I know my brother Esau. And last time I seen Esau, he wanted to kill me. And he's on his way. And he's got 400 men with him. I think he still wants to kill me. And I'm going to send something ahead. I'm going to scheme. I'm going to plan. I'm going to work this thing out, right? And so that's the situation Jacob's in. He's scared. He's scheming. I think Jacob is doing this. I believe Jacob's being self-sufficient. It's almost as if Jacob is saying, I can figure this thing out myself. I said last week, you know, I really can relate to Jacob. I've been doing it just this past couple weeks. I ask you as a church family tonight, we mentioned it, Brother Allen mentioned it. I believe Brother Brian mentioned this prayer. I'd ask you for a church family, you pray about this bus situation. We're supposed to be going to youth conference here in 2 weeks, and I really want to go. That was our plan, and we raised the money at Vacation Bible School to get a bus. We thought we had a bus. It didn't work out. Things fell through. We pursued another bus, thought for sure we had a bus. Brother David sent me a text, said, God found us a bus. Well, God didn't find the bus. Brother David did because it fell through. But I'd ask you, pray. I've been scheming. I've been doing Jacob. I've been planning. I'm trying to come up with a way to get us out there, right? I've been calling around and trying to rent buses and borrow buses and find buses. And I've been doing everything. And you know what? I want to ask you to do, pray. Pray that God would give us a bus if that's God's will. And if it ain't God's will to God give us a bus, that God will show us what his will is. There's another conference closer by. It's not quite as big. It's a different thing. But maybe God wants us to go there. Just pray and ask God to show us, right? That's what I'm going to ask you. But I can relate to Jacob because I know. I've been there. I've been scared. I began to scheme, and I began to be a little self-sufficient. I talked about that Sunday, I believe. Independent or dependent? That is the question. See, Jacob has been independent. For all these years now, Jacob's left home and he went to Paddan Aram, and Jacob has been doing things his way. Jacob has been figuring things out. Jacob has conquered. You'll read here in a little bit. God says, you've conquered man, right? You've prevailed with man. Jacob conquered Esau. Jacob conquered Laban. Jacob has conquered these things, and Jacob has done a lot of things on his own in his strength, self-sufficient, right? And if we're not careful, that's what we'll do. We'll find ourselves being self-sufficient, thinking, I can figure this thing out. I can do it. I don't need God. Oh, yeah, I'll pray and ask God, but then I'll do the work. And I do think we should put, I want you to understand, I think we should put feet with our prayers, but every now and then, we just got to let God do what God wants to do. And so I believe Jacob is in a situation here, and he's scared, and he's scheming. And not only that, I believe Jacob is being self-sufficient. And we could go on and on. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but I know this. I believe God is using these situations in Jacob's life to bring him face to face with himself. God is trying to show Jacob something. And I don't know. Maybe God's really been working in my heart about some of these things. Self-sufficiency. I preach independent or dependent, right? Last week, I talked about Jacob being afraid. I don't know, maybe God's working on me. And I've been saying, God, are you trying to show me something? Because I do believe God uses situations in our lives because he wants to do something in our life. So whatever situation you're facing tonight, maybe the question is not why, but what? See, a lot of times we want to say, why, God? Why is this happening? Why did this happen? Why this situation? Why now? And I think sometimes instead of saying why, we need to say what? What, God? What are you trying to show me? God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to do with me? See, God's doing something in Jacob's life, and his situation is a part of it. Jacob, his situation. So we see a situation. Number two, I want us to see this. Not only do we see a situation, we see a struggle. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, well, verse 23 says, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And verse 24 says this, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Did I say that right? Our teenagers always make fun of me and my wife. They say I say wrestling. In Greene County, that's what it's called, wrestling. Right? It's wrestling. Everybody knows that, but they say it's supposed to be wrestle. Jacob wrestled. I don't know. Wrestled. He done something, right? He struggled. That's what happened. Jacob was struggling, right? I mean, there was a struggle going on. When I think about wrestling, I can't even say it now. When I think about wrestling, I think about a struggle, right? I mean, when you see, and I ain't talking about WWE. Get the WWE out of your mind, all right? Forget Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and all that stuff. See, my childhood's coming back, Brother Greg, going back to the 80s here, taking a step back in time. But now, forget all that. That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking more, I'm showing my carnality now. I better stop while I'm ahead. But I'm talking more UFC style, right? I'm talking about a wrestling, not that fake body slam, you know, pile driver, DDT. No, I'm talking about grabbing a hold and wrestling. I'm going to pin you. You're going to pin me. We're in a wrestling match. We're struggling. There's a struggle going on, right? That's what Jacob's doing. We got to see that. Jacob is struggling here. The Bible says Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man. Jacob was struggling. He was in a struggle, right? Maybe you're in a struggle tonight. I don't know. Maybe God wants to get you in a struggle tonight. See, God got Jacob in this struggle. I find it interesting. You know, the Bible says, verse 24, it says, a lot of people talk about Jacob wrestling with God. I don't think that's what went on here. The Bible says in verse 24, and he took him and sent him over. I mean, it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. I mean, Jacob was wrestling, but Jacob, there wrestled a man with him. I believe the other man was the one that started this wrestling match. I don't think Jacob went and started a wrestling match with an angel of God. No, I think that angel of God came and started a wrestling match with Jacob. You see, he used the situation Jacob was in, and he came to Jacob. He said, Jacob, I'm trying to do something in you. I'm trying to make you come face to face with some things, Jacob. I want you to come face to face with you, Jacob. I want you to come face to face with yourself, Jacob. I want you to come face to face with your flesh, Jacob. And the Bible says there wrestled a man with him. There was a struggle. A couple things about that struggle is, number one, that struggle was alone. I thought on this for a little bit this afternoon, really yesterday, this morning, this afternoon. Verse 24 says, the Bible wants us to know that Jacob was left alone. I believe the devil, listen to me, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, especially you young people that are here tonight, I believe the devil, I thought about this and I thought, man, that's the truth. I believe the devil has done a good job at stopping us from ever being alone. We live in this internet age. These devices. The Bible says we're not... Yeah, these devices. That's what they call them, a device, right? Electronic device. Bible says we're not ignorant of his what? Devices. I don't think it's talking about a cell phone, but it could be. I believe he's using it. I believe it is one of his devices. Never alone. This social media age in which we live in, we're never alone. Be by ourselves in our room, but we got somebody we're texting. Somebody we're talking to. Somebody we're reading about, or we're looking at, or we're watching, or we're just never alone. The devil is a master of these things, and I really believe the devil has done a good job of keeping God's children, keeping God's people from never being alone. It's good for us every now and then to just be alone, to get alone with God. Shut that cell phone off, turn that video game off, Turn that TV off. Turn all that other stuff off and get alone with God. The Bible says Jacob was left alone. But Jacob's wrestling. Jacob's in a struggle and he's alone. Yes, it's Jacob and the angel of God. And I believe God wants us to get alone with him every now and then. And you know what? If we're going to come face to face with our flesh, we're going to have to get alone with God. Now, I'm glad that God, and I thought about this, I hope God will get alone with somebody tonight. You know, that's the thing about God. God can get you all alone in a room full of people. You ever been alone with God in a room full of people? I have. God just spoke to your heart. God just sat down in your lap and you got down to an old-fashioned altar and you got alone with God and there was people everywhere, but you didn't know it because it was just you and God in your mind. It's what we need. We need to be alone with God. I'm telling you, the devil is, he's not, this isn't his first rodeo, right? The Bible says the devil knows what he's doing. He's crafty. He's subtle. He's sneaky. And he knows what he's doing in this day in which we live. And the devil is not allowing us to ever be alone. First thing most people in this room do, and I'm not throwing stones here. I'm one of you. First thing most people in this room do in the morning is grab that thing. You're no longer alone when that's with you. If you don't believe me, start talking about something. Great day. We've been talking about an above ground swimming. My mom was talking about putting an above ground swimming pool at our house, and 2 days later, I got ads all over the place on my cell phone for swimming pools. You are not alone. I'm telling you, Big Brother is watching. They listening right now, right? I'm telling you, if you don't believe it, you just set that thing on the counter and start talking, right? So I need to keep talking about Jesus, right? Maybe they'll get saved. Anyway, so we're talking about the struggle. He was alone. I got to hurry. He was agonizing. The struggle. There was Jacob was alone, but Jacob was agonizing. You say, that's a strong word. I believe that's what was going on. Look at verse number 24. It says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I mean, all night. This wasn't no quick wrestling match, right? All night long, the Bible says, till the breaking of day, Jacob was wrestling with this angel of God. There was some agonizing going on. The book of Hosea, you look it up some other time. Hosea chapter 12, verse 4 says, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and supplicated unto him. He wept and made supplication unto him. That's why I believe, and most people do, some don't, that this angel was a theophany. It was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, the same that came to Abraham there outside of Sodom. I believe that. Some people believe it was just an angel of God. But if Jacob was praying and supplicating to him, I don't think Jacob's going to pray and supplicate to an angel. The angels ain't going to let that happen. He'd have let go of Jacob and said, oh, buddy, you praying to the wrong one. But Jacob was in agony. He was praying and he was weeping. He was struggling. He was saying, oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. And God was trying to do something in Jacob's life. And he had Jacob in this situation. And he had Jacob in this struggle. He got Jacob alone. And there began to be an agonizing. There was a weeping and a supplicating. And it went on and on all night long. It wasn't this little 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. No, it was some time in prayer with God. See, I'm afraid sometimes we just don't agonize enough. I said we. God helped me to get some agony in my prayers and some intensity in my walk with God. You see, that's what I believe this was. I almost said it was an isolated situation. It was an intense situation. Jacob was wrestling. He was struggling. He'd done it all night long. And I don't believe that this was, you know, just a little wrestling match. No, this was a struggle. It was intense. There was some agony going on here. So there was agonizing. I think about the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 7. I quote this so much, people probably think, that's the only passage of Scripture you know how to quote. But in Romans chapter 7, it's just one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible because it just feels like I wrote it. Don't take it the wrong way. I mean that in the most respectful way I can say it. But Romans chapter 7, you know where Paul said, that I would do, I don't do. That I would not, that I do. He said, there's a war in my members.
the war of my mind and my flesh. And, you know, he talks about sin. And he says, and finally he says this, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul said, there's a struggle going on inside of me. There's the old man. There's that new man. There's that spiritual man. There's that sinful man. And there's a struggle and there's a wrestling match. And it's going on inside of my soul. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. You see, that's where I think Jacob was. He was in agony. He was coming face to face with himself. The angel of God was trying to show Jacob, Jacob, this is who you are. And so Jacob was agonizing in this. Not only was this struggle agonizing, but I believe this struggle was altering, or you could say affecting. Look at verse number 25. It says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I like how it says that he just touched him. I know none of y'all get this except maybe a handful of the kids, but my kids watch a movie called Kung Fu Panda. It's a real spiritual movie. No, I'm just playing. But he has a move where he just like touches these people and it just boom. You know, I mean, I can't remember the name of it, but I was thinking when I was reading this, that's just the way my mind thinks. I thought about that touch, you know. It's like supposed to be touching a pressure point or something. You know, I used to go to school with guys that said, man, I know how to touch pressure points. I can drop you to your knees with, you know, one finger. I've never seen them do it. I've seen them talk about it, but I've never seen them do it. Now, I'm sure that somebody can. I just didn't go to school with any of them. But, you know, but he just touched it. Just one touch. Jacob's wrestling. He's agonizing. I mean, all night long, Jacob, he's weeping and he's supplicating and he's wrestling and he's struggling and he's just touched him. That's what the Bible says. He touched him, Brother Brian. And his joint, his thigh was out of joint. His hip popped out of place is what I'm thinking. It altered him. Look at verse number 31. It says, and he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. I believe this, I personally believe this touch here, this struggle, this wrestling match, I believe it affected Jacob forever. That's what I believe. I believe it altered Jacob's life. You know, I'll give you scripture, but I don't like to say anything without backing up by scripture. Now, you could say, well, he was just an old man, and I wouldn't argue with that, but the Bible wants us to know this, that in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, Jacob, as he was dying, it says, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed his sons, worshiping God, and something like that, and this is what it says, leaning upon his staff. See, I believe after this event in Jacob's life, he always had that staff. He had a limp. Jacob limped. It altered Jacob's life. It affected him. This wrestling match with God had an effect on Jacob's life. He never walked the same. You know, that's what we need. We need to have an encounter with God that changes the way we walk forever. A couple of our young people, you know what they need? I hope what happens at youth conference, I hope one of our young people go to youth conference and God gets so a hold of their heart that they have an encounter, they have an alone time, they have a one-on-one interaction with God and it affects the way they walk the rest of their life. It can happen. It can happen. We could have a young person come back from camp this week over at junior camp and literally God affect the way they walk for the rest of their life. It altered Jacob. This struggling match, this wrestling match that he had, it was an altering event in Jacob's life. So we see, number one, the situation. Number two, we saw the struggle. Number three, and I'm done, I want to look at the statement. Look at verse number 26, and this is where I started my message tonight. It says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Verse 27 says this, and he said unto him, what is thy name? What is thy name? I like how this angel of God just got direct. This is a direct statement. He said, let's just cut to the chase, Jacob. Let's not beat around the bush here, Jacob. What is your name? What is your name, Jacob? You say, what is so big about him asking him his name? I don't know. But if you read about Jacob's life, I really believe not only is this a direct statement, I believe it's a deep statement. I really do. I believe you gotta go beyond the surface here. I believe this statement that we see here is a very deep statement. I personally believe God is trying to make Jacob come face to face with himself. You know what God's saying? He's saying, Jacob, you remember the last time somebody asked you that question? I don't know, maybe 20-some years ago. Your father Isaac said, now who are you? What's your name? I'm Esau. I'm Esau, your oldest son. I don't know. That's what I believe is happening right here, Brother Brian. I believe this God is trying to get Jacob to come face to face with himself. He said, Jacob, you've been running for 20 years now. It's time to come face to face with yourself, Jacob. You can run, but you can't hide. Young people, listen to me. I said this when I started this series. You can't run from your past. It will catch up to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Those of us that have lived long enough to learn. Payday someday. Right? God's going to make us answer for it. God says, Jacob, what's your name? I'm just sure Jacob thought. I just feel like Jacob, that thing's been probably riding on Jacob for years. He's getting ready to go back home to Esau. I mean, his mind's already in that place. You know, Jacob's been afraid. He's going back home. He's done played this thing over in his mind. I don't know how many times. You know, I tricked Dad. I said I was Esau. I played like I was him. I stole his blessing. I stole his birthright. I mean, this stuff is fresh in Jacob's mind. And here Jacob gets alone with God, and he's in a struggle. He's in a wrestling match. And then there's a statement made, and it's a direct statement. He says, what's your name? It's a deep statement. He says, Jacob, I want to get to the core here. Who are you? Are you that schemer? That's what Jacob means. Are you that liar, Jacob? Are you that supplanter? Are you that worm? There's all kinds of different definitions out there about what Jacob's name actually means. But God's saying, hey, Jacob, are you that old man that lied to his dad? That old man that left home? Are you that old man that's been scheming your way through life? Who are you, Jacob? It's a deep statement. I love when God gets deep. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the is sharpening to a sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the intents and thoughts of the heart. See, God's word will get down deep. I like when the word of God gets deep. I want God's word to get deep. I want God to deal thoroughly with me. I think about David when he got right with God, and he said, you know, he said, God, search me, O God. Know me. Try me, God. See if there be any unclean way in me. He said, deal thoroughly with me, God. I think that's what's happening with Jacob. That's what I want God to do with me. Can I tell you, that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to get deep. He wants to go beyond that surface. He wants to go beyond that front, that facade. He wants to get down to the heart of the matter. That's what he did with Jacob. It was a direct statement. It was a deep statement. Not only this, it was a defining statement. He said in verse 27, he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob came face to face with Jacob. He had to say it. I'm Jacob. I'm a schemer. I'm a supplanter. I'm a worm. I'm Jacob. I'm a liar. I'm that guy. That's who I am. I'm Jacob. I'm scared. I'm self-sufficient. I'm a schemer. I am Jacob. Can I tell you, brethren, that's when things really start to pick up. I'm done, okay? I'm done. It's 10 minutes after 8. We're done. Is there somebody here tonight? I've been searching my heart. God, what is it? What is it in my life? Point it out, God. If you'll point it out, I'll confess it. I admit it. Is there somebody here tonight? God's trying to wrestle with you. God's trying to struggle with you. God's trying to show you yourself. And God just wants you to come clean. God knew who Jacob was. God didn't ask Jacob his name because he didn't remember it, okay? I might do that because I'm terrible with names. I might ask my wife, what's that person's name? My aunt, you know. I'm just playing. No, God's not asking Jacob what his name is because he doesn't know it. He's asking Jacob his name because he wants Jacob to say it. And God's not asking you if you're a liar. God's not asking you if you're a thief. God's not asking you if you're disobedient. God's not asking you if you're rebellious. God's not asking you if you're involved in this sin or that sin. God's not asking you that for his sake. God knows that. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees all. God knows all. God doesn't ask us about us for him. No, God asks us about us for us. God wants us to come real with ourselves. He wants us to come face to face with ourselves. And then God says, now I can help you. What is thy name? Jacob. It's me. I'm Jacob. Look at the next verse. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He said, man, don't be asking me my name. What you asking me my name for? This ain't about me, buddy. It's about you. Jacob, you coming face to face with you. This ain't about me. It's about you. I noticed Jacob didn't ask no more questions. Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob said, Jacob asked him what his name was, and he said, hey, don't you worry about my name. It reminds me of Joshua. Is it chapter 4 or chapter 5? Joshua, the captain of the host, chapter 5. At the end of that chapter, Joshua comes, and he says, hey, you for us or for them? He said, nay. Nay. I ain't for them or for us. The question is, who you for? I'm the captain. He said, what's your name? Don't worry about my name. I just saw God face to face. This is Peniel. If God, I saw God face to face and I lived. Jacob said, yes, sir. He said, your name's Israel. There's a lot of different positions about what that name means. A lot of people say it means, it says prince with God. Some people say, I saw a guy break it down. You know, El means God. And a lot of the names in the Bible, Daniel, Elijah, and different ones that have El in their name. And one man said that word means commandeth. God commandeth. But whether it means that prince of God or prince for God or prince with God, it doesn't matter. It means something good. Jacob's name got changed. God said, Jacob, you've been in charge, but now I'm in charge. I like how he said he's a prince of God. You know, the prince ain't in charge. The king is. He said, Jacob, you a prince with God, but don't forget you're not the king, buddy. I'm the king. I really believe God was showing Jacob himself. And like most of us, I'm done for tonight. I could say so much more, but I think like most of us, if you read the rest of this story, I've been reading ahead because I'm preaching on the life of Jacob. He has to learn this lesson again. Very next chapter, Jacob's already acting like Jacob. And then he gets to Bethel. I'm not sure, Pastor would know. I believe the first time it actually calls him Israel is at Bethel. From this point, if you read it, it continues to call him Jacob. But when he gets back to Bethel, which is where God told him to go in the first place, God said, Jacob, go down to Paddan Aram, and when I tell you to, you go back and you go to Bethel. And Jacob still, he's still struggling. And finally, he does what God said do in the Bible. If you read it when you get home a couple chapters later, when he gets to Bethel, the Bible calls him Israel. You're finally starting to learn a little bit here, Jacob. Man, I feel like Jacob sometimes. You finally starting to learn a little bit, David.
Yep. Before long, though, I'm acting like Jacob again. God's good to us, brother.
We just need to come face to face with ourselves. Do us good every now and then to look into the mirror. James said it's like a mirror. Look into the perfect law of liberty. Stare into that word and let God look deep into your soul and show us ourselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would take your word tonight, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would use it. Lord, please, God, I pray that you would bring us face to face with ourselves, God. Oh, God, we want to come face to face with you. God, we want to know your will. But, God, we realize in order to get close to you, we've got to get real with ourselves. God, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that's struggling, they're in a bad situation, God, I pray that they would come to you. And, God, just give it all to you as we heard sung in song tonight. Give it all to you. And, God, just watch you do what you want to do with it, Lord. Please work in our lives individually. And, God, for whatever you do, we'll thank you for it. We love you. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.